Our next public hearing this evening is case number 12397. Kelly Hales seeks variances from the front yard setback and side yard setback requirements for existing structures, sections 115.42, 115.182 and 115.185 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the west side of East Lagoon Road, approximately 511 feet north of Falling Point Road. The 911 address is 30835 and 30843 East Lagoon Road, Dagsborough. The zoning district is GR, General Residential, and the tax parcel IDs are District 134, Map 6, Parcels 123 and 124. Specifically, the applicant is requesting, firstly, an 8.6-foot variance from the required 17.6 average front yard setback requirement for an existing pump house. Secondly, a 3.6-foot variance from the required 17.6-foot average
front yard. Mr. Whitehouse, the pump house, the guest house, and the shed were all approved in 2018. The only variance that we have before us is for the variance for the existing dwelling, which would be 3.6 feet from the 17.6 front yard.
Sorry, the second one. So, no, I stand corrected. So that is the only variance being sought. And staff would note that we've received zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and zero mail returns. Thank you.
Come on up. Yep. Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Kelly Hales, 36963 Sussex Highway, Delmar, Delaware, 19940.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Please bear with me, my glasses. I just got them, so I can't get used to keep them on my face. Okay, so hopefully you guys are here. My case again tonight.
Mr. Sharp, do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I want to give the board a little background on this, and I certainly don't want to step on the applicant's toes, but this one does have a little unique background to it. In the fall of 2018, we had an application that came before us. I believe Mr. Workman and Ms. McGee were on the board at that time. As part of that, there was a variance, and Ms. Hales, correct me if I'm wrong, that was for an existing dwelling and that had recently been placed. There was a guest house, a pump house, and I believe a shed that had been on there much longer. And that application came before the board. The board held a hearing and voted to approve in part and deny in part. What happened there was the board said the older structures, the pump house, the guest house, and the shed, the variances for those structures were granted, but the board denied the variance for the existing dwelling. I believe you have a copy of that decision in your materials. And what the board is tasked with in this case, and we have an application before us, the applicant has to demonstrate, before we can really even dive into the merits of whether they've met the standards for granting a variance, the board must first determine whether or not there's been a substantial change in the conditions. And To give you a little background, the court, as you all know, is a quasi-judicial body. And when we have a court of law, there's a principle, it's called res judicata, which means that if there's been a decision rendered in a case before a court, the court later, you can't just sue again to get a result. I mean, if you didn't appeal it, that right is lost. So in this same principle applies to the Board of Adjustment. There's been substantial case law on this issue over the years. I recall a case when I was wet under the years as a young practitioner that I had a case before the board that was where there was a substantial, we had to prove a substantial change. A classic example of this was there was a daycare many years ago that had been denied. The applicant later came before the board, applied for a daycare in that same location. But what they did was they had made a change. There was smaller daycare, there was fewer employees, there was fewer kids that were going to be serviced. They had made some changes to it. The board determined that was a substantial change in the conditions and circumstances and allowed it to move forward. If, however, there is no change of circumstances, a substantial change in circumstances or conditions, then the board can't vacate its prior decision. You can't just go back on it. So that is the threshold question that we first must answer is this a different application than the one that was denied in 2018? So I make that clear. I know staff had reached out, I believe, to Ms. Hales to discuss that with her prior to the hearing. I hope that she's had a chance to prepare for that. So
real short notice, but I tried my best, so hopefully it'll work.
Yeah, we certainly wanted to make sure you were aware of that.
Yeah.
And give you a fair opportunity to present that. So, but I just want to make sure this is something we don't get very often. I can't really recall it in the years that I've been on the board that we've had it come up, but I know that I had it before I was the board attorney come up. So it is law and it is well-held law.
Okay. So I had my attorney. I was hoping he'd be here, but he actually wrote up a paper, and they should have copies for all you guys up there, to state that in the first denial, it was I couldn't prove that it was not my negligence or why my house is, you know, in violation on the front setback. But he was in court with me, with the gentleman that had messed our home up, had violated and moved our stakes, which then threw our property, our new structure, I guess, and I don't know what word to use, but I had to come here to get a variance, okay, in order to keep it there. The problem with my structure, I found out that it will be very expensive to, I'd literally have to tear down, I'm sorry, my whole structure in order to fix the issue. So I'm up here to plead to try to keep my house. I saved for over 8 years trying to build a house all for the contract that I just had to pick, had to mess up our whole situation. And as I stated before in the last one, I went through all the steps to make sure my house got put where it needed to be. And I feel too that maybe planning and zoning should maybe try to change the rule of where you get your survey done again before you get your occupancy, because if they had that done, like had us do it when the people put the post in, I would have found it before then. But I had to wait, so but the cost and to prove that, you know, it was not my negligence on this is why I want you guys to hear it again. And I have more pictures to show how the difficulty it would be for me to have to move my structure. I'm sorry. And I can't, but oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
How much have you taken off? The whole structure or just how much?
No, it's the whole, how much you have to take off. You'd have to tear the whole structure down. It's on a concrete pad. All the plumbing electrical is under the pad, which then the pole barn, we tried to go a more reasonable approach for it, like, you know, for our finance purposes. So we had a company come in to do the outer structure, which is the pole barn, and then they poured the concrete inside. Well, you can't, the poles are 3 foot in the ground concreted. It's not like it sits on a foundation, you can just pick it up and move it. You can't do it. And all the interior walls are nailed, like you have to use we did quite a bit of the stuff ourselves, as again to save money. So inside, when you put your walls up, you take a 22 bullet, okay, and you have to hit it with a hammer, and that drives your nail and your rivet thing into the concrete. Well, all the walls are inside are literally in the concrete, so you would destroy everything trying to move it.
You did it yourself?
Yeah, we did all the interior stuff ourselves.
Madam Chair and Council, may we're good. Take a breath. We're okay.
I'm all sorry.
Right. It's all right. The question I believe in front of us is, the first question in front of us is, whether or not, based upon the minutes of the prior hearing, that a substantial enough change, and I'm assuming that would be piece of information, is being presented first, that we would consider vacating the previous decision.
The board has no power to vacate its prior decision.
Okay.
That's clear. This is I'll read what the case law on this, and it's well held, says. While a board cannot decision once it's made, this decision once made, it can consider a new application for similar relief if there has been a substantial change, not just a change, but a substantial one, in the circumstances or conditions affecting the property or in the proposed use or plans for the use. So using my daycare example earlier, right, they changed how they were going to use it. Generally, the burden of proof of changed circumstances is on the applicant. A determination of whether sufficient changed circumstances exist is a question of fact to be first resolved in, by first instance, by the board. The board generally may not entertain a second application concerning the same property after a previous denial unless a substantial change of conditions has occurred or other considerations materially affecting the merits of the quest have intervened. Now, I will note there's also case law that says a showing of economic hardship alone does not constitute special conditions or an exceptional situation or unnecessary hardship or exceptional practical difficulty so as to entitle the petitioner to an area variance. The purpose there is, as harsh as it may sound, is that there's an appeal process where decisions of the board can be appealed. If they're not appealed, then they're deemed final. And the court has even talked about that, where it requires an orderly function of the board, and if you allowed for reopening of cases and board vacating decisions, that it would be threaten the integrity of the zoning plan. And the courts have found that in multiple cases, including some with the county.
So, Mr. Sharp, she's saying what the change is, the stakes being moved.
No, they were moved in our last hearing. So that's not the difference.
But
no
he
difference.
Says, right, what he's saying is
I think what we have here is an affidavit where, and Ms. Hales can correct me if I'm wrong, is that the builder admitted to moving the stakes.
Yeah.
Prior, you know, but we already had that come before us, that same application.
Yeah.
It wasn't after the hearing.
But I couldn't prove it, so that was one of your failures.
In our findings. It was already in here, findings of facts.
Okay, and then.
It's not any different.
Okay, and then the cost, I don't think I had that in there, the cost of the structure of, like, you know, the difficulty it would be for us to have to move our structure to 3 feet back would just be overwhelming. I mean, we wouldn't be able to. And then I can't, taking a gentleman to court, which in one of the paper, in this paper, my lawyer states that where we're taking him to court, it's not guaranteed that they're going to give me the money that I need to move this structure and put it back the way it is to be in compliance. And so there's no guarantee to that. So I'm before you guys.
You're jumping ahead.
We okay, have to I'm sorry.
Decide first if there's any new evidence that would
it's
that we should hear this.
Yeah, I mean, what has changed with your request from what you applied for last year? What is different from what you applied for then that you're applying for now?
That I found out the cost that it would be to try to put the structure, I guess, in compliance. And then that, I also found out with the uniqueness, I never paid attention to that before, was And whether that matters, because I'm not sure, but I found out that the uniqueness of my property is not, you know, it's, the whole property is on angles, it's like pie shaped, so, you know, it's not in for the, with the retaining wall, I found out that, you know, it would, you wouldn't be, it would be a danger to the retaining wall if the structure is moved back on one corner, because it would have more, I guess, load bearing on one corner of a retaining wall instead of being the way it is now, which is where it sits pair, you know, like it sits evenly across the retaining wall. So we found out that, you know, that could be an issue down the road.
You're on three lots.
Yeah, but the retaining wall only runs through the back side of the one lot. And it's not technically three lots. The two, lot 9 and 10, are combined together with one tax map number, and then lot 11. Because the mobile home that sat there prior to us wanting to build a new structure actually sat right, like, a foot or so over the line, too. So I think they just had that as one whole lot.
Right. We're jumping all around. First, we have to decide if there's new evidence.
Yes.
It's not so much new evidence, it's whether there's been a substantial change. I guess, you know, that retaining wall issue, that would have been one that I don't know where that's changed anything from what would have happened last year. That would have been something that would have existed then, would it not?
I'm not sure. Like, I didn't realize it. So to me, it's a new knowledge to me about that. If, you know, if I take this structure, which I cannot move anyway without destroying it, and have to put it towards the retaining wall, it could cause issues for the retaining wall that holds the home up as in general.
Well, but
is this your permanent residence?
No, it was going to be. It was a retirement home.
So 19A, you need to read that, I believe. The applicant failed to prove that the dwelling could not be built in strict conformity with the Sussex County Building Code. The dwelling was only recently located on the property, and there was no evidence that the applicant could not move the home into compliance. Rather, the applicant testified that the dwelling could fit within the building envelope. For these reasons, the board finds that the dwelling could be developed in strict conformity with the code and that the variance is not necessary to enable reasonable use of the property.
Yeah, and I didn't find out until now that if we did have it turned, like if the one corner was turned in on the retaining wall due to the fact the way it sits, you'd have to look at the thing to know that it could cause problems down the road.
Do you have that in writing?
The problems that just of like how my lawyer put it in writing.
No, from an expert.
No, I didn't get it. I didn't get it in writing. I mean, but it's something I could get. I actually tried to move this, by the way, but they said because you all sent out all the stuff and already marked it, that it kind of makes it difficult to move. Because I didn't understand the change. I thought I was just coming back to answer what I couldn't prove last time. So that's what I did. It was just short notice for me to know that I wasn't complying and answering the papers right. So my lawyer tried to do his best in the last couple days to help me out with him not being able to show up.
Question.
Sure.
Can we give her time, get her lawyer back in front of us?
The board absolutely could leave that open if you felt that, you know, give her that opportunity.
To get to help her. And he comes in and then he could bring his case to us then?
Yes, yes.
I would be willing to do that if we could do that.
Me too. And I'd be willing to speak with that I believe it's Mr. Carey.
Right.
You know, I'd be willing, if you wanted to have Mr. Carey reach out to me, I'd be willing to speak with him as well, just to discuss the case with him a little further.
Can you make, explain the difference we've got to be looking at?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. I know Mr. Carey comes before you sometimes, but again, it's kind of a unique kind of thing. I'd be willing to talk to him about that if the board felt that was appropriate.
Okay, so
regarding substantial change.
Yes.
Can I proceed and ask if there's anybody here?
Absolutely.
In favor before we decide what we're doing?
I believe that's appropriate, Madam Chair.
Is there anyone here in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition of this application? I will allow the hearing to remain open.
We need a motion for that, Madam Chair.
A motion?
Well, perhaps if I may, the motion would be that move to leave the record open, to have this case put on the agenda for the next regular scheduled board meeting, which I believe is January the 27th.
We have a lot on that hearing. I think okay. We need to make it the first February.
Or we could move it to the first one in February if the board felt that appropriate. And then it'll be scheduled at that time. The record will be left open. The hearing will be left open. And we would entertain the hearing at that time.
And the public hearing will remain open so that if someone wants
correct.
To
correct.
Attend, they can.
I would like to see the earlier for her.
Well,
we might have late Kate, maybe a little bit later.
We have seven things on the agenda next.
We had 10 or 12 before. I mean, I like to see her come before she get it taken care of. If it can work that way, it might not be able to work that way with a lawyer, I don't know. But I would like to see it come earlier. That's my personal
opinion. We haven't been able to get in this place the whole time it's been built. I mean, I got all kinds of furniture sitting in it, and it's just covered up.
It's up to the rest of the board.
I do note, Mr. Workman, that the first meeting in February is only a week later. So February the
3rd. Oh, a week later?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
yeah,
fine.
I don't know what the agenda looks like that night, but I know it is the week after.
The week after? Okay.
We're backed up in January because of the holiday.
Yeah. Yeah, the Martin Luther King is on Tuesday.
Okay. Do okay. I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Mr. Corman?
Aye.
Mr. Carson?
Aye.
Mr. Workman?
Aye.
And I too, so it is vote 5-0. Hearing will remain open and
until the first meeting in February, is that
correct? Right?
And that will be February the 3rd.
Okay.
But make sure your attorney comes.
Oh, yes, yes, most definitely, because I'm sure he can talk better without crying than me. I'm sorry.
And I'll be happy if Mr. Carey calls me, I'd be happy to take his call.
All right, thank you. Thanks, guys.
Do we have additional business before the board?
So, Chair, we have no official additional business, although I think Ms. Cornwell might like to.
I just, if you haven't found out, this is my last Board of Adjustment meeting, so I just want to thank everybody for their time and the pleasure of being able to work with everybody for over the last several years. So thank you.
Well, we thank you for your service to the county, and we wish you well.
Thank you.
Anybody else have anything?
I guess. Is there a process, if anything is ever found in a judgment or end, where at one point it was found that there was some inaccuracies in which were portrayed by the applicant, that we could bring them back in here?
Run the same type of thing that you did before with the res judicata issue, I think. I'll think about that a little more. But I think it it's a slippery slope in that regard, because you have public hearing. You know, the idea is that you have a fair public hearing process. You're to weigh the evidence that's presented before you and make a decision. You know, your ability to weigh the credibility or what have you then is something that kind of happens at that hearing. You start getting the extrinsic evidence and what have you. It can be tough.
Would make physical evidence to the contrary of what was stated?
I think that becomes, you know, if somebody has said something that's different and then that their approval is for something and they've gotten, then that's a potential violation.
It's a violation of what, their approval?
Correct.
And then the county would act upon it?
Correct.
So if someone perjured themselves and out and out told us something incorrectly, then it would be on the county to violate their approval.
Yeah, if you put an approval and it's got conditions on it, or it's, you've approved for one thing and they're doing something else, that's a violation. But hypotheticals are kind of tough to deal with in some of these cases too.
And hypothetically speaking, if the board had not approved the findings of fact, is it still final?
Written finding, the written decision is the final decision of the board.
Okay. As approved.
When the written decision is approved by the board, that's the final decision of the board.
So what happens if a written approval has not been entertained and then it is voted down? What happens then? Has that ever happened? Do you know what I'm saying?
I think you're giving me a lot of legal gymnastics on the first Monday after the holiday, so.
Is that usually 45 days? Somewhere in that period, or could it be more or less?
As far as the written decision
yes.
coming in, we strive to have them in within 2 months, you know, if not yeah. sooner.
Does that kind of coincide with like how they can appeal things and things like that?
No, it's just, you only meet twice a month. We try to, sometimes we're able to get the findings generated sooner rather than others, but don't want to get beyond 2 months because then it's aged. And
so nothing that was, hypothetically speaking, something that was passed at the last meeting or the meeting before, or the meeting before that, that doesn't go into effect until
the board approves.
Until the board approves it.
We approve November 4th okay. tonight.
That's right.
Right.
So anything after November the 4th is yet to be approved and written.
So, okay.
Correct.
So if we get it and it's
that help you, Mr. Williamson?
Not correct, then we can vote it down at that time. Is that what you're saying? Or you want to tell me? Tell us later.
I think this is
a research question.
I think it's a slippery. Yeah, I think.
Especially since there's nothing on the agenda for additional business.
That's right.
This might be something that we can one-on-one discuss yeah. offline and Mr. Sharp can look into some legal generally. Aspects
yeah.
to make sure the
we
correct
We have additional business on the agenda, but not specific.
That's
correct.
Right.
And I think we're
That's
getting
fine.
More into a specific item that yeah. Just legal-wise might keep us.
Okay.
Just a general question about how findings are prepared and discussed. That's fine.
I'm still learning, so that was a good education for me.
So make sure you read your finding of fact before you vote on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let me know when it comes up.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Have anything else?
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.